Thanks for tuning in to the All Things Melanin podcast.
Be sure to subscribe, like this week's episode, and share with a friend.
Now let's get into this week's episode.
Hi, I'm Shelby.
And I'm Erica.
And welcome to the All Things Melanin podcast, where your certified hype women are getting you through the week.
Be sure to subscribe so you'll never miss an update.
Erica.
Hey, girl. Hey.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? How you feeling?
I feel like it's been a long week and it's only Tuesday. But I mean, I feel okay. I don't want to complain. You know, the world is crazy and, you know, I am, you know, a fully functioning adult. So, you know, I ain't got nothing to complain about. What about you? How you been?
You know, I'm cool. I'm living. I'm trying to survive. I'm continuing to. I say this a lot, but I really am out here fighting for my life, and that's fine. But overall, you know, I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I have all of my needs met, some of my wants met. I have amazing family and friends. I am surrounded by love. And I'm just that girl. So, you know, I'm good.
I know that's right. I know that's right. So I always, as you always do, I know you have a question for me. So just go ahead and tell me, what is it?
Okay. So here is the question of the day and the icebreaker. So what was the best thing that has happened to you recently? Whether it was like a weekend, whether it was this past month, this year, like share something with me that you've enjoyed or that has brought you great joy or that you liked.
That's a really good question. So, okay, I would say the best thing that's happened so far this year, well, at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, I wrote down a few goals. So I guess the so far would be me sticking to those goals I've set, which one in particular would be to get out of my comfort zone. Okay. And that may not be challenging for some folk, but it is for me. So for example, that would be, I stepped out of my comfort zone with expanding my network. Cause they say your network determines your net worth. So I reached out to a potential mentor, to go have lunch with me. And like, I slid in her DMs. Like, I didn't know if she was going to respond, if she was even going to see it, like whatever. But I don't know why I was nervous doing that. But, and I guess because it's like, I literally don't know her, but right. It was honestly the best decision that I've ever done so far. Because she actually did agree to go to lunch with me one day. And she ended up actually having a mentorship program for interior design, since for those of you who don't know, I've started a business doing interior design, so I needed a mentor, and she decided to be my mentor. And it's been the most incredible experience, and I would have never had her in my life, being so resourceful and so helpful and just having all this knowledge and experience, because she's been doing it for over 10 years full time. And so if I would have never stepped out of my comfort zone, friend, I would have never asked her. She would have never been my mentor, most likely. And they say, you know, like the worst enemy is your comfort zone. So I will say to anybody out there, obviously within reason, do something that makes you uncomfortable. Yeah. This year, this weekend, this month, do something out of your comfort zone. What about you?
I love that, friend. And I'm so proud of Erica, because Erica, if she could just like lay in her comfort zone in a little cocoon, she would. So to know Erica is to know that this is a big deal for her. So I'm super, super excited that you did that, friend.
Thanks.
So something recently that has brought me great joy. So if you know me, you know that I really am a lover girl, and I absolutely love love. And to just make matters even better, I love black love. It's just something about black love that does it for you, girl, and that makes me so happy. And so recently, I was able to, my friend had a destination wedding, a destination ceremony, and her and her husband tied the knot in Montego Bay, Jamaica, overlooking the beach on the water, crystal clear blue water, and it was so amazing. I've known this friend since I was a freshman in college. And it's so interesting to see people. And I feel like for me, like I said, I met her my freshman year in college. So just to see her grow and evolve and, you know, finally be able to tie the knot with the love of her life, because she had some frogs, haven't we all? But to just see her, you know, commit to, you know, the father of her children that they've had, her beautiful children that they had, because they make beautiful babies, okay? And just to see them commit themselves, girl, they wrote their own vows. Your girl almost lost it because it was just beautiful. It was them, like, I took my cousin with me as my date, and she had never met them, but she was like, they are perfect for each other. She was like, I can't describe it, but they are perfect for each other. So just to see them celebrate their love and to love on them, that brought me great joy. But I will say, you didn't ask me, I ain't married and I ain't got no man, but you know, it got me to thinking. I have started making a list of things for my wedding day. And I'm going to tell you what three of them are right now. You didn't ask, but you're going to get it. One, each one of my bridesmaids is going to get a job. Even if you're not my maid of honor, everybody's going to have a job, because I'm not forgetting nothing. Everybody's going to be responsible for something. That's the first thing. Everybody getting a job. Number two, we are starting on time. I do not care who's not there. If you are not there on time, you're going to have to hear about it, because I'm not waiting on you. I need everybody early. I'm lying and I'm telling everybody a different time so that they are on time. Last but not least, friend, I have decided the part of the wedding that I think is one of the most entertaining parts, but also is one of the most awkward parts, is when the man goes up your leg to get the garter. And I have decided that me and my husband or whoever I'm with, we gonna have to practice before we get there. Because what you're not gonna do is go up my leg and lick me in front of my daddy and my brother. We're not doing all of that, okay? We're not gonna do that unless you would like to not live and be unalived, okay? So I'm gonna need you to get up there and do what you need to do very fast. Very fast. I don't need you making a spectacle in front of my dad and my brother, okay? Because I'm gonna be embarrassed. So you're not gonna do all of this. Like, you know what? You can start from the side. You can do whatever. You can shimmy. You can give me a lap dance, but make it short. We're not doing all this in front of my daddy. Do not go up my leg and stay there very long. We're not gonna do that. We're gonna practice. We're gonna make this very quick. And those are the three things that are at the top of my list right now. And I just wanted to share that because I felt like it. But to answer your question... Erica's laughing at me, but I am so... Girl, what I look like you sitting up here... And you know, like, when people do, like, the garter thing, like, it's a show. Like, it's a show. You're not finna do all that. We're not doing it. It's so awkward. Also, like, even when I watch things and I see, like, women give their man a lap dance, like, I'm not finna do that in front of my mama. Like...
I'm not doing none of that.
Mm-mm. Like, girl, like, that's a lie. Like, in front of your mama, I...
No.
I would die. Like, that's why I said you can't be up there all night trying to get this garter. Go up there, get it real quick, and come on back down and throw it. We can do all this other stuff later after the ceremony, but you're not going to do all that in front of my daddy and my brother. We're not doing that. So that's what I took away from it.
Thanks, friend, for that sad note. I'm probably going to take all of that out too, because you had made a good point with, like, your dad seeing that. Like, my dad's probably not even going to want that dude there. Like, my whole husband, he ain't even going to want him there. So, I mean, yes and no. We're going to have to say that for the hotel room, because that don't... Mm-mm. And then my uncle is a whole pastor who's probably going to be the one to marry us. So, that would just be a no. Okay, anyway, let's keep it moving. Since we are talking about relationships, marriage, congrats to Jasmine, we're going to go into our dating and relationships segment for the day. So this one is kind of deep. Well, not really, but kind of. But, okay, so Shelby, have you heard of the 80-20 rule? So let me give you the definition for those of you who have not heard of it. So the 80-20 rule is a relationship theory that states that you can only get about 80% of your wants and needs from a healthy relationship, while the remaining 20% you need to provide for yourself. So, Shelby, do you believe this is true? And what would be something that must be in your partner's 80%?
I definitely agree. And I agree because if you think about it, like, nobody is perfect and you're never going to get everything that you want or that's on your list. Because if we're being honest, everybody got a list. Say you don't, I got a list. I don't really care. But even honestly, from talking to people that have been married, I hear them say this all the time. Like, you're not going to get everything that you want in a person, but you'll get most of the things that you need in a person. So I agree. I think that as long as you get what you need the most, then that's the most important. And then you can work on the other things or you can live with the other things. But things that need to be in my 80%, I tried to condense my list, but if you know me, you know. Here we go. Things that have to be in the 80%. I want somebody that's honest, somebody that's patient, somebody that's really loving and reassuring, someone that is fine. I'm talking drop dead gorgeous. I'm talking about on the days that he make me mad, I still want to jump his bones. And I'd be like, you know what? You better be lucky you fine, because if you weren't, we wouldn't be able to do this. I want somebody that has a good work ethic. I want somebody, you know, that wants to have a family and that wants to be monogamous, because people, not everybody wants that. I want somebody that is loyal. I want somebody, you know, that has a relationship with God, but I also want somebody that like really wants to do this like married life and wants to do this thing called life together. You know, like I am one of those people that I don't like want to, I don't want to get married just to get married, and I don't want to be with somebody just to be with somebody. Like, it's not just a piece of paper for me. Like, I feel like if I'm going to commit my life to you and I'm going to submit to you to like lead me, like I need you to make up this 80% and what's important to me. And like, I need you to want to do it. I think a lot of it is that like, you gotta be with somebody that like has a similar vision as you, that has similar goals as you. You gotta be with somebody that like you. People be with people that don't like them. They're with people that benefit them. They're with people that, you know, that they can use. And I think I was having this conversation with somebody and they were like, people don't date people that like them, because if they liked you, they wouldn't do that. And I was like, it's so simple, but it's so true. And so for me, I want to be with somebody that like wants to be married, that wants to have a family, that wants to have children, but I also want to be with somebody that has good character, somebody that I know is going to have my back, somebody that is committed to me, somebody that I know no matter if he pissed off at me, if he mad at me, like if we beefing, like I know if shit go down, it's me and him against the world. Like, he may be mad at me, but out in the world, we in this thing. Now, when we behind closed doors, it's whatever, but like, you know, we're able to put up a good front. Like, I want to be with somebody that is committed to me, like I said, and that wants to do this thing called life with me. Somebody that likes me, somebody that loves me, somebody that only has eyes for me, somebody that I don't have to worry about what they doing when they're not with me, or who's in their phone, or what they're doing. I hope that answered your question, because I feel like I ramble, but...
No, it does, and... I guess I'll start off with what's in my 80% and then I'll do the rest of the question. So I feel like 80% should be your non-negotiables. Mm. And like 20% is something that you can kind of, it really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. Like, for example, for me, like if you're not over 6 feet, like, okay, like I'm not about to leave you because you ain't tall. Like that would be a 20%. type of situation. But my 80% would definitely be, I'm gonna read a couple of things. I ain't gonna read all of it and give all y'all the keys for somebody sliding my DM talking about, oh, I heard you like a man of God. Get me behind me. Okay. So definitely a man of God. That's got to be in the 80% bucket. I need you to be suitable for my life. I need you to fit whatever my purpose is and the seasons of my life. The goal is to not get married. The goal is to stay married, baby. Okay. Then I'm going to need you to be a faithful man, okay? Because I ain't got time to be on snapped. Okay, and then I need you to be respectful. That's important to me. I need you to be intentional. I need you to have integrity, values, be a leader, be emotionally available, okay? That's a big one. And I would like you to be, you know, healed, or at least the best version of yourself so far. So those would be some of the things that are in my non-negotiable, like 80%. And I don't feel like that's a lot to ask, but some of y'all be acting like it is. Okay. So when I first read this question, it made me think of the movie, Why Did I Get Married? So let me explain. So for those who have not seen the Tyler Perry movie, the first one, Why Did I Get Married? Because some people will leave their 80% for that 20%. And it reminds me of that movie, Why Did I Get Married? And it stars Jill Scott, and her character's name is Sheila. So Sheila finds out that her husband, Mike, was cheating on her with her friend, Trina. Mike left Sheila for Trina, but see, Trina was 20% the whole time. Sheila was his 80%. So long story short, Sheila moved on. She got in better health. She started working out. She met a fine man named Troy. She got married to him. She moved. Like, she's just living the life. Then here comes Mike with his shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, singing another sad love song. And then there's this one part in the movie, well, I'll never forget, where Mike was trying to compliment Sheila on how good she looks and how he was kind of like feeling regretful about everything. Of course he do. Like, of course you do now. And I honestly think it's because he felt threatened that the fact that she moved on.
Right.
But Sheila told him in the movie, go be with your 20. And I say, yes, girl, go be with your 20. So I think it's important to make sure that your non-negotiables are in your 80% and not the 20%, because you'll end up leaving for 20%. Like, that's crazy. Like, the most important things should be in the 80%. And like the study said, the 20% you should be able to provide for yourself. So more of the story is, with that movie, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And as human beings, we just cannot expect our partners to be everything to us at all times. Like, that's way too much pressure on a person, because we all have the responsibility to be happy and whole within ourselves first, mm-hmm. and then come into partnership with someone who adds to that. So, like I said, 80%, your non-negotiables. 20% could be something you could live without. And that's what I would say on that.
I would agree with that, friend. I liked all of those.
Yes. All right. So let's keep it moving to our next segment, which is the journey. So we will discuss something that we've learned, maybe some tips about building a brand or business or working in corporate. So Shelby, the question is, so we talk a lot about standards and boundaries when it comes to a relationship and friendship, right? But let's talk about how this applies to your career, and whether that be your own business or in corporate, what are your standards and boundaries when it comes to your career choices?
Yeah, so I have had to learn the hard way that standards and boundaries when it comes to your career are very important, because if you don't have them, people will like walk all over you, they will use you, and they will like drain you. And so also I feel like standards and boundaries let people know they can't play with you. Like, you can play with Sarah, you can play with Sally, you can play with John, you can play with Crystal, you can play with anybody on this earth but me. But it also like allows people to know how they can interact with you in a professional and healthy way, and in a way that's beneficial to you. So here is how I establish boundaries and standards. First of all, I'm going to take my lunch break uninterrupted. It's on my calendar. You already know. I'm not like, leave me out of it. Like, I feel like you have to be able to like step away for 30 minutes to an hour uninterrupted. If somebody can't take care of it in that hour, they're not qualified for the job and they need to get a new one. Maybe an entry level one, because relax. I think that it's really important to take your time. So I always take my lunch break, and I always take breaks throughout the day, at least one 15-minute break in the morning, one 15-minute break in the evening. I also do those things because I feel like it's really important to break up your day, to reset, but also just to blow off a little steam, to take a little walk, to get something to eat, you know, to get some vitamin D, all of those things. I also set boundaries on like what I am gonna do and what I'm not gonna do. I don't let people talk to me any kind of way. I keep all receipts, and I always like reinforce to clients or whoever I'm talking to or interacting with, like who I am, as well as like expectations on like how you can communicate with me, when you can communicate with me. So I don't take calls before work. I don't take calls after work. I really don't take calls during my break. That's like a very minuscule point of time. I always tell people you can contact me between these hours and I will contact you back. I always follow up within, you know, like an hour or two, but I think it's really important to let people know like how you communicate and what they can expect for you. And I think people will try it and push it, but like you have to reinforce it. Like what I do for work, it is not rocket science. Nobody is dying. Nobody is hurt. So there's no need for you to hit my line at random hours of the day. Or like on the weekend, I'm not going to answer. So I always set boundaries there. Like I said, I don't answer emails or phone calls after or before work hours. But I think one of the most important things is that I leave work at work. I'm going to tell y'all something that I have learned in my career. I think it's really important to do your job very well. I think it's really important to give it your all. But I want to let you know that these companies don't give a damn about you. So it's really important for you to set boundaries, you know, that are healthy, but also that are reasonable. Like whatever my job description is or whatever I do, I always exceed that. But I've also learned to not let you play with me. Like I said, like I'm going to take my breaks. I'm going to take my lunch. I'm going to communicate within business hours. I'm going to set expectations. And I'm the type of person, particularly when it comes to work, I keep all receipts and I always over communicate. I can talk to you on the phone and I'm going to turn around and send you an email and I'm going to have it in an email form because I need you to know and reiterate what we already talked about. But I think also having boundaries and standards sets the tone of like who I am, the expertise that I bring to the table, as well as, you know, setting expectations of like my role, how you can contact me, when you can contact me, and being firm and I'm here to help, but you're not going to play with me and take advantage of me. So I think that it's really important that you decide what you are going to do and what you're not going to do within the realms of your, you know, of your role, whether that's, you know, your business or your corporate career, and you stick to that. Because if you keep sticking to that, they're going to get the picture. They're going to get the clue. And they're going to be on the party bus with you. What about you?
No, I agree to everything that you were saying. All of that's definitely included in my boundaries and my standards. And only thing I could add to that is like from a business and corporate perspective at the same time, it's just simply like knowing your value and knowing your worth. An example would be like we apply for jobs or we go on interviews because obviously we need that job. We got real bills and all that. But also we have to remember that what value we are bringing to the table and carry that mindset into the interview that they need you because you have the skills or you have a possible solution to solve whatever problem that company is trying to solve, for example. So I would have to just say, because I had to realize this, like not every job is a good fit and not every client for you is a good fit. And that is okay. I think especially when we start our brands or start our businesses, we want to take on every single client or every single opportunity. And not every single opportunity is meant for you. You really have to have discernment on that. And I think also having boundaries. Another thing is when we first get started, we just want to just yes to everything and we ain't got no boundaries and I'll do this and I'll do that. I ain't got no business hours. Like we have to set those type of boundaries to avoid burnout. And, you know, resenting your business or creativity is a real thing because you are burnt out and you don't want to lose that, you know, drive for your creativity. So I think it's important to put boundaries and you would, by knowing when to cut it off. And that's in business or corporate wise. I remember just the other day, like in corporate, somebody really tried me via email and I had it that day and to where I was like, you know what? I don't even need y'all, but I do. So I wrote up this email and I sent it to one of my friends because I was like, okay, let me send it to her first. She was like, don't send that. I'm gonna go ahead and write you something to send because that was gonna get you fired. And I was like, okay. But the reason that I know I have had it is because I had not set up boundaries with that person that had tried it with me. Because otherwise, why would you think you can come at me like that, right? So I think to to Shelby's point too, is just always make sure you have your receipts. Always make sure you have something in writing, because people will try you and try to overstep your boundaries. Your boundaries are really for you, because people gonna try to overstep them anyway. So make sure that you stick to what your values is, what your standards are, whether it be you building a brand or corporate. So that's all I would have to add to what you said, Shelby. You shaking your head. Okay, so let's keep it moving to our mentor moment. So this is when Shelby and I will give some advice on a listener's letter that was sent over to us. So Shelby, the letter reads, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. So I need your advice on this. Out of my current friend group, I am the only one who is not married with no children. And recently I have been feeling like the outcast simply because I cannot relate to being married or being a mom. Although I do desire these things eventually. One of those friends made a comment about me not being married yet. She said to me, my standards are too high. I'm starting to feel left out of things because of it. And I don't know whether to address it or even how to, or should I begin to just distance myself at this point? So if you were me, what would you do?"
If I were you, I would address it and I would put it out there. You know, I feel like one thing I've learned that as I've evolved and I've gotten older, I've realized that a lot of my friends or my friend group were all at different stages in our life. And we're all going to continue to be at different stages of our life. But just because you're at a different stage in your life, does not mean that you get to be the ruler and judge of somebody else's life, that you get to make them feel like an outcast, or you get to put your opinion on why they're not married or why they don't have this on your life. Because we don't know what you're putting up with. Like, you may be putting up with R. Kelly. I don't know. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not Erica style. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know what you're putting. I said that to say, first of all, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Erica, you're so unserious.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm serious.
Erica's so unserious. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. I wasn't trying to be funny, but
I'm stuck on R. Kelly. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I said that to say that you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm trying not to look at you, so go ahead.
I said that to say that you don't know what somebody is putting up with behind closed doors. And because whatever you have settled for or whatever you got going on, as long as you're happy, that's cool. But if I'm not in a relationship or I'm not with somebody, a lot of times women make a conscious decision to be single. Like, because let's be clear, it's not hard to get a ninja out here. It's hard to get the right one. Let me put that out there, okay? Like, let's make that clear. But, and just to kind of give you some context, you know, I have friends. I have, like, two friends in particular come to mind. But I'll use my friend Jasmine, for example. So my friend Jasmine, we've been friends. It's the friend I was talking about in the beginning. We've been friends since college. And she's at a different stage in her life. She's married and she has two beautiful children. She works full time and she's going to get her PhD, you know, and I'm not in the stage in my life, of being married or having children, but over the years, our friendship has been able to evolve. Not one time has Jasmine made me feel any type of way about not being married or, you know, dating or not having a boyfriend. Not one way has she made me feel any type of way of, you know, not having children. She tells me all the time, like, girl, this is a lot, so wild out while you can. Literally what she says. Wild, and if you know Jasmine, you know she said it. Wild out while you can. And so I think that it sucks that she's making you feel like this, because I don't think it's okay. I feel like no matter what season you are in your life, your friend, I feel like friends are the family that we get to choose. You don't get to choose your family, but you do get to choose your friends. And I feel like as your friend, your friend should be able to support you and encourage you in the season that you're in. Like, if they know somebody that they can hook you up with, great. If they don't, pray for you. Like, still hang out with them, still include them, because I guarantee, like, if they burn this bridge with you, they're going to need you before you need them. And I'll bet money on that. I'd bet money on that. So also, I think another thing to ask yourself is like I know you asked me about your friend, but like ask yourself, is this friendship serving you? Is this friendship benefiting you? Are you getting what you need out of this friendship? I think a lot of times we sit here and we talk about and we hound about romantic relationships, and those are important. But I think just as equally as important as romantic relationships are friendships. And I think sometimes we outgrow friendships. I think sometimes we outgrow friendships and we try to make it work and we try to make it work and we try to make it work. And you've heard me say this before. Erica's heard me to say this before. When you've outgrown a friendship, if you don't address what needs to be addressed in the friendship, something so dramatic will happen that you have to address it or you have to let it go. And so I think it's important to know where you are in your life, but also know if that friendship is serving you or not, because that's important as well. Like, you deserve to be poured into. You deserve to have somebody that's encouraging you in all of these things. So if I were you, I would bring it up and I would address it. I would, you know, in a kind way, I would tell them how I'm feeling. I would let them know where I'm at. And I would ask them whatever questions I have on my mind. Like, for instance, like, you know, you brought up and you said that my standards are too high. Like, what made you feel like that? Like I said, they may be dealing with R. Kelly. You don't want those problems. I don't know why I keep saying R. Kelly. But I think that, but you know what? I honestly, all jokes aside, I think, you know, we have to be open and honest and transparent in our friendships too, because the way life be lifing, I personally don't have time to have people around me that are not my people in this season of my life. Like, I can wish you well, I can pray for you, but if you decide that you're going to be the judge and juror of my life, that's not the type of person that I need. So I feel like I rambled a lot because that's what I'm doing today on the podcast. But to bring it around and give you the cliff notes, I think first that you need to ask, is this friendship serving you? And I think you need to get really honest about how you feel about it. And then two, when you calm down and you have thought through your thoughts and you felt your emotions, I think that you should bring it up. Because if this person is really your friend, they're going to sit down and have a grown-up conversation with you, and you're going to be able to work it out. If you can't have a conversation with this person, my question to you is this person really your friend? Because if you can't talk to somebody and bring something up with somebody that's your friend, that's your raw dog, then y'all low-key maybe pass impaired, like, fixing. Because I feel like you should be able to talk to your friend about anything. Like, even if it's hard, even if it's uncomfortable, like, if somebody knows your heart, and somebody knows your spirit, then they're going to know that whatever you bring to them was on their spirit and that you wanted to talk about it. So the same energy that you put into romantic relationships, I'm a firm believer that you have to put into friendships, because people forget when stuff goes wrong, who has to pick up the pieces? Your friends. Who gets the late 2 a.m. phone call? Your friends. When that man ain't acting right, who gets the call and got to fix it? Your friends. When you want to be celebrated, when you want to be hyped up, when you want to do X, Y, and Z, who comes through for you? Your friends. So it's really important that you nurture those. But I think that you and your friend just need to have a conversation about your friendship in general, in the same way that you tell a man what you need from him and what you want from him to make that relationship work. You all need to be honest with each other about, like, what you need from each other in this season. Because a friendship is just like a relationship without the sex. Yeah, that's what I got to say.
It is. And I think the only thing I can really add to that, friend, is I always thought that it's a good thing if you, because she says she desires, you know, to be married and a mom one day. And so I always thought it was good to have friends that are married and that are moms around you. Just kind of like, if you want to be a CEO, get around some CEOs type of thing. But I don't feel like this is healthy if they're making you feel some type of way. So what I would say to add to everything Shelby said would be, find you some new single friends, because you might need one or two that can relate to your lifestyle, because they're in a different stage of life where they're not going to be able to be out here and try to help find love for you and all that kind of stuff. But also, I would say, yes, it's definitely worth having a conversation, but I think it would depend on how long you've been friends with them too. And like Shelby said, part of that would be like, is this friendship serving you, so that you know if it's worth addressing it. Because honestly, when I first read this, I was like, this just sounds like their opinion and not a fact. So why are we going back and forth about somebody's opinion? So don't get worked up over someone's opinion. I don't care if they're your family or friends. And then ask yourself, would you take relationship advice from that friend group? And I'm asking that because are they in a healthy relationship or not from what you've seen or observed? So my tidbit to that is, if you would not take their advice, then don't worry about their criticism. And that's true for everybody that got an opinion about you, don't matter what the topic is, because I feel like a lot of the times in our society, we're told to be married and be a mom by this age or this time. And if you're not, people kind of look down on you or have an opinion about why you're not. And that's not okay, because society should not be running your life. You shouldn't just be checking off these boxes because you feel like you going through the motions because it's what you're supposed to do by now. Like, if it's not happening for you, just don't feel bad that it's not happening for you right now. And like I said, don't worry about their criticism if you wouldn't take their advice. So a lot of people, jump into relationships or they jump into marriage just from societal pressures or standards. And I just encourage all the single people that may be feeling like this girl, don't let that deter you. So if if you are feeling left out or you feeling kind of offended by comments that are being made about you, find you some new single friends and go hang out. Okay. That would be what I would add to what you had to say, Shelby. So if you have a question that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement. Y'all, this is kind of long. We about to head into Bible study real quick. So stand for the reading of the word on tonight. Just kidding. So the Bible verse today comes from Matthew 14:27-32. I'm going to read the NIV version. So it says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So this passage of scripture I wanted to share because it shows us clearly God is in control, and to stop doubting him. And I'm saying that to myself, stop doubting him and that he will come through for you and your situation. So this reminds me of, I don't know if you know this little gif or giphy of this little boy. He's like holding on to a rope in a small pool of water and he's panicking the whole time. And then his mom comes up and she just like puts his legs down to stand and he immediately stops panicking and he stops crying. And that reminds me of this story. And that reminds me of myself in certain situations, like just relax, put your legs down, stop panicking. And so I just look at that like, God, when I am worried or panicking or overthinking about a situation, God is like, why did you doubt? Just stand up. Like, I got you. So that's what this passage of scripture means to me. And I just love it. It's one of my favorites. What about you, Shelby?
Yeah, I would agree with everything that you just said, friend. I think for me, similar to you, like when I think about this, like this is also one of my favorite scriptures to like, to think about and to read and to ponder on. And so like, this is what's on my spirit. Here we go. So I feel like this reminds me that a lot of times when we start something new or in a trying season in our lives, we start out saying, God, I trust you. We're joyful, we're hopeful, and we're sure that God will work it out fast. But when life gets to lifing and things don't go our way, we get down, our joy leaves, and our faith drains. I'm guilty of having dwindling and weak faith. So this story to me is a reminder that no matter the circumstance, If I keep my eyes on Jesus, he won't let me sink or drown, even though what you're going through may seem impossible. Because when you take your eyes and faith off of Jesus, things will go haywire. So in encouraging you, as well as encouraging myself, I don't know what you're dealing with, but I encourage you to keep your eyes and your faith on Jesus. It will be okay in the end. My mama always tells me it will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. But also, I think that, just so you know, it's normal to get scared and afraid and cry, like, in whatever season you are in your life and, you know, whatever you're feeling. But keep trusting and believing that God is holding your hand and guiding you through in and out of the season you're in. Trouble doesn't last always. It will get better. Keep going, keep pushing, and keep believing that better and more is on the horizon for you.
Amen. Okay, well, let's pray on out of here then. So bow your heads, close your eyes. If you are driving, just sway with it. So dear God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we're thanking you that you are always a constant help in our time of need. Thank you that you are a friend, you are our protector, you are our encourager, a way maker when there seems to be no way at all. You always come through. For everyone under the sound of my voice, I pray that you refresh their strength. For those of us who are feeling discouraged, who are feeling afraid, who are feeling doubtful, who are feeling tired in our situations, please speak to each of us in our hearts to renew our strength. We know that all things are working together for our good. And from this moment forward, we declare our strength is renewed, and we will continue to move forward with courage, knowing and believing that you are always in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.